Session number 12247, Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 12.
Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 12. What was the number of the Marienburg camp, Mr. Weddle?
Well, it was exact B camp. That's all I used to put on my letters there. Because if you went to a small camp, you either just put exact B on or you were given a abbreviated little number afterwards. That's, I suppose that was for the Germans to send the letters to, you see. But at that particular time, it was just exact B. I was only there a short time.
You talked about the Golden Circle, those sergeants that were getting things which appeared you weren't getting. Was there any resentment about that?
The first visit there, there was nothing. I wasn't there long enough to get anything about the camp, but there was Frenchmen there, Bulgars, and I went on to a working party just a few days after that. Working on was in a farm district on the borders of the Danzig Free State. I think it was actually in Poland. They were making the roads through a forest, a bad camp. Couldn't get a wash. They had to carry the water up a long road, you know, for a water wagon. By the time we got to the top of the hill, it was only half full. So that was water for the guards as well as us. You know, so.
You were coming to the end of your first year of prisoner of war camps. What was it having an effect upon you?
Well, some of the lads' health was deteriorating. Some were going German doctor and a sig, but depends upon the doctor. If you had a bad back, you had to make sure anybody had a bad back in front of you. Otherwise, the doctor would just send you to the walking party. You know, the. You had to be really ill before they would let you go, before they sent you out on a working party, you know.
Was any men getting, you know, mental health problems?
Oh, well, some were getting depressed, as if they got no letters or if they had no cigarettes, it was all getting them down. Some were catching colds, bad stomachs, a lot had quite a bad stomach, you know. Luckily, I was all right with that time, you know. But, people got depressed, especially if they got no cigarettes. Sometimes you just get afraid. All sorts of rumours coming through and arguments. But the lads, nothing serious for when I was there anyway. But there was some lads that was getting, especially news from whom, the ways were going with somebody else. You know, things like that, especially the married men. Luckily, I hadn't any bother like that. Yeah. They were the ones who were suffering, the married men, I think. Personally.
Were there any men who were perpetually in trouble with the Germans?
Well, there's one or two if they just wouldn't try to keep ourselves clean, just stuck in there, or saying no, being deliberately saying no, and they're just sent back to the camp in a bit of a punishment, locked up, and I sent them to that camp. But later on, I think they put a special camp on for them kind of fellas, you know, because there is some awkward men, you know, in any walks of life, but that's the way they were built, and they made trouble.
Were there any men who were fraternising with the Germans, or was looking to...
Well, yeah, there wasn't a case of fraternising, it was a case of, if you had cigarettes, you had some coffee, and you had some butter to make a bit of a bartering system with, you had to get on talk to them once you got to know the language a little bit, but you had to be careful, you had to catch them on their own. They wouldn't make a deal with you from anybody else, there just had to be if there was a single guy on his own. And that was only for a certain thing. But as far as fraternising concerned, no, that's the only way fraternised I would say. just trying to make a deal with them. Anybody would make a deal with you. Give and take a little bit. I mean, if you would give a, if you're making a pot of tea, not with a god, a cup of tea and all, I mean, that'll help to keep the, help you sort in ways, you know. Help you, well, if you give a pot of tea, you like, make a pot of tea. I mean, there's no point it was, we are concerned.
Relationships between yourselves and the other inmates, the other prisoners, were there any problems there with any cliques, you might say?
Oh, or? I thought it was cliques. I mean, everybody had their cliques and sort in camps, but that was in the big camps, which I didn't have a lot of knowledge of the big camps. But listen to the patter. There was all sorting main sergeants and that keeping getting together, and there was always something missing, especially across parcels. I was supposed, you're supposed to have more than what you got. But that was only here, as far as they're concerned. But, it was only the one camp, that was in Marienburg, the main camp, that the Carla Goulden sort, you know. But I never actually had anything to do with it, but the rumours were rife that they were better off than what we were in provisions and uniforms, which caused a lot of disquiet. I think there was a lot said about it later on, you know. But that was all your own. Later on, the news was different, you know. But I didn't like it. One little bit, but you couldn't nothing with it. So you just had to live with it. If you personally, I was always sent to working parties, you know why, but it was always with different men. Very rare I got with the same men. It was always a different group of men. So you had to make, every time you made a move, you had to make different friends, you know. Now I was a Southern lads and Scots lads, very few Gator lads, Durham lads, where I was. So it was unfortunate that really.
Where did you go to next, Mr. Weddle?
Well, from XX Bay, I went to a place called Notzendorf. It's in it's on the border, as far as I understood, on the old Danzig Free State in Poland. And it was near, later on, it was near forgetting the name of the town. It's an old German town. It's on the way to Leningrad. That's the main line in Leningrad. I can't think of the name just now, later on anyway. But that was on a state farm. It's only a small camp. I think there's about 24 within that camp. And, there was another lad from Gator there. The food wasn't too bad, but it wasn't much cup either. And we had to get washed at the village pump to get a wash. But luckily, one of the houses we're in, where they made the camp for us, they had the wire around and everything, windows locked up and one thing, and then bars on. But had a cess put in, so it could make by where. Well, all even houses in Britain, the old houses had them in for washing, doing the washing in. We used to make soups and broths. And on a Sunday, if we didn't have anything to do, we used to put boil our clothes in the cesspot and generally clean up. So, but the work there was mostly for the harvest. And, well, no, we didn't. Went there when the sugar beet.
What time is this? What time of the year?
That would be in that would be in June. I think I reckon in June June 41.
How were they feeding?
Because it was just we're getting bread, farm bread, plus we're getting bred off some of the Polish girls that was working on the, and men were on the farm at that time, and And we got food off some of the German farmhands for what you want to make deals with. Give them a bit of soup. When we got soup, we got some Red Cross parcels through that particular time. And a little bit of English soup was went a long way to get a nice loaf of bread, farm bread, you know. So you made little deals like that. But always on the road. Or and the guards, of course, if you give the guard a couple of few cigarettes, he'll allow you to make a deal. Not excessive deal, but just enough to make a bit of part with a bit of food, you know.
What hours were you working?
Oh, from sunrise to sunset, sometimes just before, sometimes after. Long hours. When I first went there, the sugar beet was just coming through, and they had us hoeing and thinning the sugar beet out. That particular time, it was on that farm that they grew a lot of sugar beet. And it was a pool turned German, not so large German, he was in charge of the Polish workers and us, and he was a right villain. And he must have been on the fiddle with the food, but the food we got off him wasn't up to much. Luckily we got Red Cross parcels through, so that was a great help. For damn it, well, that would have been the bad way there. Of course, what it was in the village pump as us here, and for damn it, with a cesspot in one of the houses we're in, we wouldn't have been able to get a warm wash, you know. So it was and then everybody, when we got a wash, we had to take our turns going, two or three at a time, and all the village used to watch for getting washed at the village pump. Because you had to use the pump as well, you know. But on the whole, the lads were getting their health back again. At least we're fiddling a bit on the farm. You know, get the eggs, a few eggs here and a few eggs there. Took a chance on getting the search up the two or three guards it was with me. And but that's here, a couple of cigarettes, and I close your eyes to a few eggs. You know. So you had to live somehow. So.
And how long were you in that camp?
When that would be. Oh, it was there when I got a letter from the National Red Cross to say my sister had died. My young sister.
Did you take that pretty badly, being away from
home? Oh, there are. We did take it badly because I didn't ask she was that ill, you know, it come out of the blue. And I'd been sending letters a few letters home at that particular time and asking after her. And according to the date on the Red Cross, come from Geneva, National Red Cross. She must have been dead when I was writing. I believe that's where my father had told the Red Cross about it, you know. Somebody I must have advised them, and because I was still writing about her, you know. So. But it was a smack that, like, couldn't even avoid it, like, but it was a really smack. It didn't make for having a very good temper at that particular time, like, you know.
Did anybody try to help you through it? Or was there any?
Well, you had to talk. The lads tumbled straight to me out as a man. I said, "Oh, so well." They did. They talked to the one. And I think at the same time, the lad's sister had died. The lad from Bradford, I think. They both got letters the same time, you know. So, but you tend to get over it, like. But still a shock, like, because I mean, it's not matter when I left home, you know, because it was a tomboy, actually. That was a shock. But I did get to know later that I got to home about the circumstances, you know.
Were you in that camp very long?
Yeah, well, up there, right to the bad weather was coming in then. Because we're harvesting the peas. Then we had to get up at 2:30 in the morning to harvest the peas through the night. It's the only time they can harvest them when the dew's on the ground. And it was a bit cool then, 2:30 in the morning, but there was a moonlight night, you know, sometimes it was like daylight. And, but afternoon, they give us a couple hours rest, because as soon as the sun, it seems the sun shines, they stop harvesting in case the peas dry up and they go into the field. So they give you a couple hours rest and then they're back to harvest something else in the odd jobs.
Most was it heavy work? Group,
it was heavy work, aye. Oh, aye. Because at the all hand, was a mechanical things on the farm, but most of the work was done with horses and wagons, you know. The sugar beet was heavy, and we started after that. We did the comb, did the hay, and that was another heavy job. We did the barley, that was an awful job that, because we had no masks and you get covered in dust. It was affecting me a little bit that, but. No, we won't get to put a bath. You have to get underneath the pump to get all the dust and up you know. Because it's a dirty job when you're harvesting out the barns, you know. And we're there quite a while. The winter started coming in. We harvested the sugar beet. That was a cool job. That was a really heavy, cool job, that. And from there, they sent me to the sugar beet factory from there. Went direct. We didn't go back to the main camp, we went straight to the sugar beet factory. And that was near Elbing, just outside Elbing. That's the town I was trying to think of before. It was about 10 miles or something from Elbing, and a big sugar beet factory.
What was the work like there?
Oh, it was awful there. It was cold. It was just one big warehouse where we were billeted in. No stoves. It's only the one stove that I could remember being in there. Two tier bunks. I was wondering about it was bunks. Instead of sleeping on the floor, they weren't bunks. I suppose that had bunks for the amount of men that was there, because you had to work two 12-hour shifts. And you had to work. So we fact, worked 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week. So they put one shift. So one shift was going up and the other one come in. The food wasn't nothing right about. In fact, we got quite a few vegetables, though, in my soup. That was the benefit of that. Like.
You're still basically eating soup?
Oh, mostly soup, so. Mostly soup, potatoes. And that particular time when they're harvesting, we're getting vegetables in. Few vegetables, but very little meat. But then the other cross parcels, the few we got, because it's a common good, like, it had no meat at all, very little meat.
How often did you get a parcel?
Well, it varied. Sometimes you got three or four a month, and other times you might go a month without having them. It was no regular period, you know. And then it was sometimes one between three, one between two, some. Quite a while we've got one each, which could build up. You can stock a little bit up there for part time, but you're limited, because once you open the tin, it had to be eaten, you know. So if you mucked in with another lad, you could make a meal with your two parcels, whereas on your own, you couldn't. You just had to open the tin and eat the whole lot, you know. Well, within 2 days anyway. So without the parcels, it would have been in a bad state, really. Like.
Who was it that allocated the parcels to you?
We've gotten from International Red Cross parcels and Canadian parcels. It started coming through. The Germans distributed the parcels. When you went to small camps, you had to send a party out. Well, the guards took a small party out and brought the parcels to your small camp on a horse and wagon. Sometimes you had about 10, 15 miles to go, you know. So that's all they did it. I can't remember any being brought to the camp by the German transport. Not the camps I was in, anyway. But the main camps, you just distributed the sergeant major, the sergeants that was in charge of the camp, and they disputed one at a time, depends how many they had. So that's, without them, would have been in a bad state. Right. would have no soup, they would keep clean with it in any case. You know, cigarettes, that was the difference, the cigarettes. If they, the lads had no cigarettes, for the smokers, they were miserable, argumentative, you know, and tempers were really bad, and it was, the lads were really down if they had no cigarettes, but if you had cigarettes, it was a different atmosphere altogether.
Most men would smoke, do they?
Oh, quite a few smoke now. And, if you had both, cigarettes and a Red Cross parcel, and you would be able to have a nice wash with some nice soap, and if you got a change of clothing, if some man has died, I did get a parcel once for some clothing in, so that was a great help for me. And it was a different world then. You start saying, well, when's this war going to be over? You know, debate the Jews used to get. The atmosphere was different. You know, but it's when they had nothing. All they talk about was smoke. If they had no food, talk about food. If they had both, they start talking about women. You know, the otherwise they won't bother. That's the lads I was with, you know.
Lack of women must have been a problem.
Oh, it was. That was a problem. Oh, I think in the big camps it was getting a bit too bad, I think, as far as I know, in the big camps. Like.
What was this? The
Well, it started to entertain ourselves as dancing. You know, some lads had bands put together, you know, instruments, and they were running dances. And I was the one that was told me there were men were licking each other. I says, oh, hell, it must be getting bad when they like that, you know. Good, I say. I mean, I was lost in my freedom being young, but I think the married men are the ones that suffered the most, myself personally. Especially with the letters from home, you know, and the news from home. And some had young children. Some hadn't seen their children born. They were the lads who went to Cali and them places, you know. Their children were born afterwards. They were having trouble.
Was there some homosexuality in the camps?
Well, I would have thought. I never seen any myself personally, right? But could have been. Oh, I never. Not the camps I was in. In the big camps, I suppose it went on. I couldn't see it.
When you were in this warehouse that you said you were in,
In the sugar beet factory.
How did you keep warm?
Well, you kept your clothes on all the time. Walked about. I managed to get a Polish army top coated up then. So I kept the cool out a bit, and just trying to get around the stove, where it was, and keep yourself warm. I just walked around the camp if you were doing nothing. Because you couldn't really sleep, even if you were off. It was a noise, and you had to get up and go into the sugar beet factory. And no, in the sugar beet factory, if you walked inside the sugar beet factory, it was warm. But if you walked outside, unloading the wagons, the frozen, I mean, it was a bad winter that year. The sugar beet were frozen hard. You had to use a pick. The pick had little iron knobs on the end of the pick, you know, and then fork. It had knobs on to stop you splitting the sugar beet. But it was that hard, yeah. Sometimes the pick wouldn't loosen them, and what a job that was. Normally they would just open the bottom end, the truck, let them go into water, because there was water flowing all the time underneath the truck and the railway lines, and going into the washing, where they were sorted out and flushed into the sugar factory, you know. But when they were frozen, well, what a job that was. It could. Bad, cool job that, because you had to start from the top and dig them off, hide them over the top. And the guards were patrolling and above you, because it was on a parapet, you know. And depending upon the guards, he let you make a, well, what's that, a Red Cross parcel then, but he let you make a cup of tea or coffee where the kitchens were, where they got their food, and he let you go and make a cup of tea. Depend upon the guard. Now, how many times you went. Otherwise, we used to dodge along the lane, and we thought the guard wasn't looking, to the boiler where the lads were loading the furnaces with pulverized coal. was shoveling a small coal. And now, if you've seen these furnaces, they go up in trays. They're not trays. Well, I found just in the bottom tray was just high enough to put a can in. Put your can in, cool water, and it was boiling there in a couple of minutes. So you had to be just careful your hand to put it in, not too hard, and then pull it out, make a thing. So we used to get a pot of tea like that to help to keep the cool out. So,
what about bedding and sleeping?
There was, I just had the one blanket, but wasn't on the floor, was it? I see in the lats. It was boarded bunks.
Could you keep your clothes on while you were sleeping?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was too cold to choose it up in any case. You know, you just took your jacket off and then you had to sleep on it in case somebody pinched it. I mean, some lads, I was wanting more than what you had, you know.
There's a lot of stealing.
Quite a bit, not a great lot. It's up yourself to attend. Because there was some lads would want more than what you would, you know. Some tightness got David Barton, others just couldn't be bothered. And the other type that would help themselves if he had something, to help themselves if they got the chance, but he carried everything with you.
When your work was over, how did you occupy your time?
Just talking, trying to keep yourself clean, trying to find the news, what the news was. And I think it was a sergeant of the Welsh Guards was the senior man in charge of that, the camp then, and you could go and ask him for a bit of advice, you know, but the toilets weren't that were a bit primitive, but better than some places, you know. That was one of the punishments. If you got punishment there, emptying the cesspools with a by shovel and leading it into the big truck, and that was one of the punishments, you know. Anybody like that, you terrible.
So your toilet was, what was your toilet?
Ordinary toilet, but went into a cesspool. But at least had a little bit of privacy. Well, that camp, you didn't have to avail of the privacy there. But you did or not, camp. But wooden seats and everything went to the cesspool. Was no flush toilets. And that was the worst part, no privacy, you know. That was the worst part. You weren't on your own. Everybody, there was always somebody with you, you know. That was the worst.
How did you cope with that then?
Well, you just had to cope with it, don't you? Try and talk to you. If you had a good mate and a good group of lads with you, you could talk, you know. And we talked about the war, what I did in the war, you know, the short time they were there, like. And no one again, they got a navy broke in and. He would bring a bit of news in. But otherwise, it was a bad camp, that the food was poor. And I got, if you go inside the sugar beet factory itself, you got warmed. And it was mine, it was a spotless place, son. You got some kind of little jobs in there. Or you got a job in the kitchen, carrying wood, sticks, and water for the cooks. But and you might fiddle a little bit of extra food. But otherwise, it was a bad company.
Was there a lot of men there?
There was quite a few there. Aye, there was couldn't wait, but it was a large warehouse that, and white Christmas there. The lads managed to get a Christmas tree, but and the lads one or two had instruments, and they put a bit of a concert on. But there was no food there. We didn't have no parcel or nothing that Christmas. It was a really cold. Bad day, Christmas that one.
How did you relieve your tensions? Did you have?
Well, you just walked about and you thought, give yourself a good shake, and or you got argue with your mate, you know, about things, and then you found you settled down, and then somebody would mention the war and a bit extra news coming in. So you got over it, you know. If you found yourself getting worked up, I used to go for a walk. You were still somebody, but you're on your own, with your own mind, you know. Just walk it off. I got a few arguments for some lads, like, but don't know if they have a back door we find.
Was there any fighting?
Oh, there was one or two lads that go at each other, or I lash out, you know. Some lads have either, they don't argue, they just lash out. What's up with them? You just let them go, as long as they weren't badly using each other.
Did you get any sport at all?
Some of the lads were. Well, some lads made packs of cards. They were starting to get cards off the Germans. Some made dominoes, a draft board. Made all ourselves different kind of games, you know. So that put a time in for lots of people, you know. But mostly keeping yourself clean, keep the lights doing. The lights was getting well over then. And so you were burning the lights up the same as your clothing. And that, you did that nearly every night. Nearly all night sometimes, you know. So you had something to do. And any time you weren't talking, you'd be killing the lice, you know. It's the only way to keep them down is to burn them through the seams of your clothing. Or lads had fleas, flea bites, you know. Luckily they didn't harm me much, the fleas, but some lads did, especially the fair skinned lads. They used to swell up with the fleas. But that was the conditions was pretty bad in that camp.